So good morning and welcome back to New Milton Evangelical Free Church's online service. If you are with us again this week for the 100th time, it's lovely to have you back with us. If you're with us for the first time, we pray that you'll know the Lord's blessing as we worship together. We're going to begin the service by praying, so let's pray. Loving Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to ask that you would be pleased to speak into our lives. We ask, Lord, that what we hear from your word would have impact upon us. We pray that it would help us to understand all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, more than that, how all that the Lord Jesus has done can be applied in our lives. And so we pray, Lord, that you would grant us your grace and your mercy. We thank you that we have this opportunity to meet together and online in this way. We just pray that you'd help us to soon get back to meeting together in person. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to join together in song and we're going to sing "How Great Thou Art."
Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, the path through my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, then sings my soul. Bye. humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
So we have a children's quiz this week, and it's over to Georgia and Marnie for that today.
Okay, kids, it is week 10 of doing the children's talks, which means it is time for another quiz. Now this time we've got a fun action quiz for you, so I need you all to be up on your feet. And Marnie is my wonderful assistant today.
Hello.
And she is going to be doing the actions for us. So there's three actions you need to know. There is elephant. And what does elephant look like, Marnie? Like this. Yep, she's got a nice trunk and a big elephant ear. Okay, and what does flamingo look like? Yep, like that. Look, she looks just like a flamingo. She is on one leg, you can't really tell. And then the last action we had, what was the last action? Monkey. The last action is monkey. And this is obviously what a monkey looks like. Very enthusiastic actions from Marnie. Now, I'm going to ask the questions, same as before. And if you get the question right, you will have to do an action. And you can pick whatever action you want to do. And then Marnie is going to turn around so she can't see. Although she can't see you anyway, but she's still going to turn around. And she is going to do an action as well. And if you do the same action as Marnie, you don't get a point. But if you do a different action, you do get a point. So we will start with the first question. Okay. The first question is, which of our four missionaries, and I'll say their names in a sec just to help you remember, taught us that it's important to love other people even if they're different from us, and himself helped and wrote lots about slavery and why it was a bad thing. Okay, and we had Gladys Alwood, David Livingstone, Hudson Taylor, or Eric Liddell. Which one of those was it? I'll give you like 5 seconds to answer. So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's right, it was David Livingstone. Okay, so you guys now need to do your actions. Marnie, turn around so you can't see them. What actions are you going to pick? Remember, we've got monkey, elephant, or flamingo. Okay, and in 3 seconds, Marnie is going to turn around and do her own action. And you've got to try and not do the one she's doing. 3, 2, 1. Monkey. Okay, so if you did flamingo or elephant, you get a point. Next question. Name two of the jobs that Gladys Alwood did. She did a lot during her day, so I'll give you 5 seconds to try and think of two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, well, I've got 5 written down, so you just need to get 2 of these. She was an innkeeper. She was a spy. She went around unbinding people's feet. She helped in prisons. And she ran an orphanage. So if you got any 2 of those 5, you get to pick an action. Okay, Marnie, gotta turn around. We don't want you cheating. What actions are you gonna pick? Elephant, flamingo, or monkey? She did monkey last time, so I wonder if she'll do that again, or maybe she'll pick a different one. Okay, Marnie, are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, she's a flamingo. Okay, so if you picked elephant or monkey, you get a point. Question 3. Which race did Eric Liddell win? Now, we know he wanted to race the 100 metres, but he didn't because it was on a Sunday and he wanted to honour God. So which race did he run and then win? Okay, give you 5 more seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's right, it was the 400 metres. Okay, so I need you to pick your actions. Marnie, turn around. Okay, what are we going for? I'm sure I see some elephants there. Maybe a, oh, that's a flamingo, I think. But I, don't worry, I can't actually see you. Okay, Marnie, are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Another flamingo. Oh, that means if you pick the elephant or the monkey, you get a point. Okay, we're on to our fourth question now. I hope you're keeping track of your scores at home. Okay, question number 4. Hudson Taylor taught us that it's really important to say no to things just because they're what the people around you are doing. But what did he teach us to listen to and to follow the example of? Okay, you've got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exactly. What's in the Bible is what we should be listening to, not those around us. Okay, what actions are we going to do? Marnie, turn yourself around. Okay, give you a couple of seconds. Get your position sorted. Do you know, she's not done elephant yet. Okay, Marnie, turn around in 3. Oh, no, she's turned. 3, 2, 1. She's, oh, she did elephant now. I hope that didn't get too many of you. So if you got flamingo or monkey, then you get an extra point. Okay, so our fifth and final question, and hopefully you're going to get your fifth and final points, is for why was it that all of the missionaries we've learned about were able to do all of the fantastic things they did? What gave them this ability? Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exactly, it was through God and them trusting in God. It wasn't because they were so special themselves, it was all because of God. Now, let's get that final action ready. And, oh, should we make it a little bit harder, Marnie? What do you think?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes. So, this time, you're only going to get the point if you do the same action as Marnie. So this time there's only going to be one action you can do that scores a point, and we'll see what that will be in a second. So Marnie, turn yourself around. Everyone get your actions in at home. What do you think she's going to do? Maybe, oh, maybe the flamingo, maybe the monkey. Oh, let's see. 3, 2, 1. What's it going to be, Marnie? The... that was... Turn around again! That was halfway between a monkey and a flamingo! Okay, everyone... Second chance. We'll give her a second chance. Okay, everyone get their action ready at home. Marnie, do you need me to explain the actions again? No? You got this?
No.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. What's it going to be? The elephant. Okay, so if you did an elephant at home, then you get an extra point. Now, I hope you had fun doing our quiz, and I hope you've learned lots over all of this talks of missionaries. But next week, we're going to go on to learning about something else. Bye.
So thank you, Georgia and Marnie. It's time now to sing. We're going to sing We Bow Down.
You are Lord.
So this week we're going to be led in the Bible reading by Angie, and then we're going to join with Martin and Annette for a period of prayer.
Mark chapter 9 verses 2 to 13. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." This is the word of God.
So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning with grateful hearts for knowing that you are the God of all things. You are the God of this universe. You are the God that first loved us. And we thank you for that. And we just want to praise your name this morning as we consider a world that's perhaps very different from this time last year. And yet we know that you are the same yesterday, today and forever. And again, we just rejoice in that fact. Rejoice that in the uncertainty that many people experience in this world, there's nothing uncertain with you, because you are in control. We might not know all the answers, Lord, but you do. We might question why this is happening, but we bow to you, the one true God. And as we consider these difficult days around us at this time, not just in this country, in this whole world, we want to bring COVID-19 to you now, Lord, and we just pray that the scientists that are working so hard across the world to develop a vaccine, we just pray that you would just enable them, equip them and guide them in their research. We just pray, Lord, that these vaccines that have come out already from China, that these will be available to the whole world to use and help develop other vaccines, to ensure that the vaccine that is finally developed will be effective and enable us to, as it were, defeat this virus. And Lord, as we think of this country, Lord, we just think of the government and the responsibilities for the Prime Minister and his team of advisors, for Matt Hancock and others, Lord. We just pray for your wisdom to be upon them, that they would look to you in all the decisions that they make, that each one will want to seek after you. We just think about this virus and how it might speak into the lives of many people, again, not just in this country, but worldwide. And we pray that this will be the case for our government and ministers and opposition too, Lord, that they will see that perhaps there's something greater going on here, that they need to ask, why must I look to God in these circumstances? It's a heavy burden and responsibility that they bear, Lord, and we just pray that you would give them all the strength each day to make the right decisions to the best of their ability. We pray for the devolved governments, Lord, for Wales, for Scotland and for Northern Ireland. Again, heavy burden of responsibility that they bear for each of those countries. And we just pray that they will be guided by you to make the right decisions. These are decisions, Lord, we know are affecting the economy, again, not just here, but worldwide. And people have different opinions, Lord, but we just pray again that people would be guided by you as to what they do with regards to the economy. The decisions they make will make such a difference. And we just pray for wisdom in how the monies and the grants that are given to help each area through the different tiers that are being imposed. We pray that people again would be patient, and that you again, the God of all comfort and wisdom, would pass that down, that people would experience that. We pray for students, for teachers and students, Lord, and pupils. We just pray for them and the heavy burden that they bear to continue to teach our young people. And we pray for the young people, for the students, Lord, pray that they would be wise in the decisions that they make as to how they behave day by day. And of course, that goes for each one of us, Lord, that we would follow the guidelines that are given. We might not at this time perhaps necessarily agree with them, Lord, but help us to look to our governments and to make wise decisions as to how we behave and what we do. And so, Lord, again, as we come to you with these requests, we just pray that not only will you hear our prayers, but you would answer them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we lift our National Health Service to you today, and we want to give thanks that we have this provision, that it is free to all of us at our point of need. And so we give you thanks. We pray for all the personnel that are involved in making this service up. We pray for nurses and doctors, for medical personnel that have direct contact with patients. We pray that you would give them strength for each new day. You would give them wisdom and skill and all the knowledge that they need to equip them to help the people that they serve. We also pray for all the non-clinicians that make up our NHS and are so important for the smooth running of this service. Father, we thank you for them. We pray that you would bless them and that you would help them as they serve us day by day. And Father God, we do pray at this time of extreme challenge for the health service with COVID-19 and this second wave. Father, we just cry to you that the hospitals would not become overwhelmed. Father, we pray for the staff that they would not become exhausted, but they would look to you day by day for their strength. Father God, we just pray that you would bring comfort to those who have lost loved ones. We pray for healing for those who are being treated for COVID-19 and for those that are dealing with long COVID. Father, we just pray that they would know perseverance, that they would know healing too. But Father God, beyond COVID, we do pray and we thank you that at this time we can still access emergency help when we need it. We thank you too that screening services are starting up again. And we do pray that cancer patients would receive the treatment and the care that they need. And then we pray for those who are waiting for more routine surgery or treatments, that have been compromised recently. Father God, be with them. If they're in pain or in any form of suffering, Father God, we just pray that they would know your deliverance, and we pray that they would soon get access to the care that they need. And then, Father, as we thank you for all that we have in this country, we think of other countries who do not have the resources that we have. And we would just lift to you today the land of Malawi. Father, you know its people. You know the challenges of an environment that is precarious, that people struggle even with basic food and basic health provision. Father God, we cry to you for them and pray that you would meet all their needs. Father, we would also lift their new president, Lazarus Chakwera, and we thank you for him. We thank you that at the beginning of the pandemic in Malawi, we thank you that he directed his people to you, the living God, and called for a time of prayer and fasting. Father, be with him. May he rule justly and fairly. May he have great wisdom at this challenging time. And may he serve his people with love. Father God, draw near to the people. We thank you that although COVID-19 has spread there, it has been contained. And we pray that that will continue. Father, we would just lift to you people that we know who are leaders in their communities in Malawi. And we do pray for Syford and Lapson and their wives, Elizabeth and Ellen. We thank you for their love for you. We thank you for their willingness to serve their people with love. We thank you that they get alongside so many who are in extreme circumstances, those who are elderly, the young, those who are sick and vulnerable. Father God, we pray you'd strengthen them day by day and equip them. Father, we know that there is great need and limited resources, but Father, we just pray that they would continue to see you supplying all their needs and the needs of their people. And Father God, we thank you too that as they seek to give practical care and help, they also share your love with the people and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for many who have come to know the Lord Jesus through their witness and through their care. Father God, may many more people in Malawi come to recognise you to be their God and the Lord Jesus to be their Saviour. So Father, today we thank you that we come to you, our God, that you hear our prayers, that you listen, and that you act according to your will and your purpose. And so we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
So let's sing again. We're going to sing this time, O Lord our God, and how majestic is your name.
Majestic is your name. born of the Lamb. Be praise and glory and power, we will magnify. We will magnify the Lord and throned in Zion. We will magnify. We will magnify the Lord and magnify the Lord enthroned in Zion. We will magnify. We will magnify the Lord enthroned in Zion.
Good evening to my friends at New Milton Evangelical Church. It's such a privilege to be able to invite you into my sitting room here in Bournemouth and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. And the passage that we're looking at this evening is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 2 to 13, which is the story of the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the great highlights in the Bible. I was thinking, what are the highlights in the Bible? And then I was thinking, what are the highlights in my life? What are the highlights in your life? I know when I was young, the highlight was to get a second-hand car and to be mobile, or to get a girlfriend, and then we get married and have children. But what are the real highlights in our lives as Christians? Well, here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, we see one of the great highlights of the New Testament. If you pushed me to put the highlights in order, I think I would say that the fourth and fifth highlights were the day of Pentecost and the ascension of Jesus Christ. The third was the incarnation, when God became man and lived amongst us, when Jesus was born at Bethlehem. The second most important highlight, the second greatest highlight, was the cross, where Jesus Christ died that we might be forgiven, where Jesus Christ made atonement for our sins so that we could be at one with God. And the number one highlight is when Jesus Christ was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. When Jesus Christ rose again, having made atonement for sin, he now defeated sin, Satan, death and hell. And he was declared to be the powerful Son of God. But the sixth highlight, I think, is probably the ascension of Jesus Christ. And here in this story, right in the middle of the Gospels, we see clearly that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our God. Now, Jesus has demonstrated that he is Lord and God. He's done wonderful things in the earlier chapters of Mark's Gospel so that we can recognize that Jesus is Lord and God. He stilled the storm and showed that he had power over nature as the creator. He stilled the storm. More than that, in the next story in the Gospels, he casts out demons. He shows that he has power not only over the nature, but over the supernatural realm. He is Lord and God over all powers and authorities. And then it goes on, the next story in Mark's Gospel is when Jesus raises the dead. He has authority over the ultimate. He is Lord and God. He's demonstrated his power to be recognized as Lord and God. And you might remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 2 where the man was lowered down through the roof and Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus not only had the power of God to do miracles, the creator power, but he also could do what no one else but God can do, and that is to forgive sins. For God alone can forgive sins. And so we see in Mark's Gospel these stories where Jesus illustrated the fact that he is Lord and God. But here in chapter 9 at the Transfiguration, we see with our eyes Jesus is God in a human body. This isn't merely a logical deduction. We're not saying, well, look, if Jesus forgives sins and only God can forgive sins, then Jesus is God. That's true. It's a logical deduction, but that's not what we've got here. And it's not a bold statement either. It's not like John in the beginning of his gospel where he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." And we know that the Word is the second person of the Trinity who became human and lived amongst us. So Jesus is God in the flesh. He's God in a body. It's the incarnation. That's a bold statement. John teaches us that. And we're not saying, well, yes, this is what John teaches. What we have here is Jesus showing us, Jesus revealing his divine glory. Here we see the godness of Jesus Christ. It is revealed. There's a song that sometimes we would sing that goes about Jesus Christ. "You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created." And when people saw Jesus Christ, they saw him just as a normal man because he had laid aside his majesty. They didn't see his divine glory. But here, at the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ, we get a glimpse of his divine glory. Here we see that Jesus is Lord and God. In this passage here, verses 9 to 13, there are 3 points I want to draw out. The first is verses 2 to 8, where we will learn what the disciples saw. Secondly, in verse 7, we will learn what the disciples heard. And finally, verses 9 to 13, we read about what the disciples were told to speak. And it reminds me of the three wise monkeys. You know, the three wise monkeys: see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Well, here we see about the three wise disciples who see something wonderful, hear something wonderful, and can speak something wonderful. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of these disciples and come up with them to that mountain where Jesus was transfigured. And let's begin by looking at verses 2 to 8, where we see that there is something to see. Indeed, four things to see. First of all, in verse 2, they see Jesus transfigured, Jesus visibly changed before them. Verse 2. "After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them." Now we know of caterpillars changing into a butterfly, metamorphosis, but that's really nothing compared to this. Here we see man being seen as he really is, the divine glory of God. In the Old Testament, Moses climbed up a high mountain, Mount Sinai, and he met with God. And we read of Moses that his face shone. And when he came down from the mountain, he would put a veil over his face, because his face was shining, but the shining would fade away, because it was only a reflected glory. But here, Jesus isn't transfigured because the glory shines upon him. It's not the glory of God shining upon Jesus as the glory of God shone upon Moses. Here it's the glory of God shining through Jesus. And here we see who Moses met with on Mount Sinai, why Moses' face shone, because he met the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Now people say to me, Chris, you don't really believe this, do you? You don't really believe that Jesus was transfigured, that he shone with the glory of heaven. This is just a fairy tale. This is just make-believe. Things like this never happen. And that's just the point. Things like this never happen to mere human beings. You know the story of the man walking along the side of the river, and he sees the fisherman fishing. And he watches, and whenever the fisherman catches a big fish, he throws it away. And whenever he catches a little tiddler, he keeps it. And the fellow thinks, this is strange, so he asks the fisherman. He said, why would you have a big fish, do you throw it away? When you only have a tiddler, you keep it. And the fisherman replied, well, I only have a small frying pan, so I can only keep the little fish. Well, some of us have a very small worldview. There's no space in our worldview for God, for eternity, for the supernatural, for the divine nature of Jesus Christ. And so when we come across stories like this, we throw them away, not because they're not true, but because we don't have the worldview that can accept them. And we need to realize that our worldview needs to change. And we need to realize that this is absolutely true. It's not make-believe. We know it's true because, well, for a start, if Jesus Christ is God in a human body, we're not surprised that this happened. Indeed, we wouldn't be surprised if this had happened to Jesus every single day. If every time he prayed, he was transfigured, it wouldn't surprise us because he is God in a human body. So it doesn't surprise us that this happened. And also, those disciples who were with Jesus were so incredibly impacted by this event that it convinces us and confirms to us that it actually happened. Peter, James, and John. James was executed very early on. He never wrote a book in the Bible, but Peter and John wrote. And John, in the very, very first chapter of his gospel, the beginning of his gospel, he says that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only come from the Father. And the Apostle Peter, before he died, he wrote 2 Peter. And in the very first chapter of that letter, he writes, he says, we didn't follow cleverly invented stories, but we saw his divine glory on the mount, and talks about when Jesus was transfigured. This actually happened. It changed these people's lives. It radically changed them because it actually happened. This is revelation, and we must respond appropriately. They saw Jesus's glory. They saw him transfigured. Secondly, in verse 3, we read that Jesus's clothes became dazzling white. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. This isn't an earthly thing. There's nothing on earth that can equal this. Jesus shone with the glory of heaven. And here we see the holiness of Jesus. But it's more than just his holiness, more than just his brilliant cleanness. In the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel in chapter 7, Daniel has an incredible vision, and he sees the Son of Man coming into the presence of the Ancient of Days, God Almighty. And we're told that the Ancient of Days, his clothing was as white as the snow. The glory of God, and here Jesus radiates the glory of God. In the days of Moses, the glory of God came down upon the tabernacle. The shining of God's glory, the Shekinah glory. And they didn't need a light in the most holy place because the glory of God was there. The glory of God shone. And Jesus is that Shekinah glory. Jesus is the glory of God because Jesus is fully God. And we must respond appropriately. And then thirdly, in verse 4, we see that Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus. Verse 4. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. We know that Moses, the lawgiver of Israel, he climbed up the high mountain. He went up Mount Sinai, and at the top of Mount Sinai, he met with God and spoke with God on Mount Sinai. And we know that Elijah was the great prophet, and he also went up Mount Sinai and he met with God and he spoke with God on Mount Sinai. And these two people who met with God and spoke with God are now here again on this high mountain speaking with God in the flesh. And Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, they point forward to Jesus. And here Peter makes his great mistake. In verses 5 and 6 we read, Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi. Well, that's a mistake in and of itself. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Oh, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. You see, Peter putting Jesus on the same level with Moses and Elijah. This is good. Let's have you all together. But Jesus isn't on the same level as Moses and Elijah at all. And not only did Peter make the mistake calling Jesus just a rabbi and putting him on the same level as Moses and Elijah, but Peter said, let's stay here. Let's just enjoy this. This is nice. Let's build some houses. Let's stay here. This is good. Forgetting that Jesus had a work to do. Jesus had come from heaven to do a great work, not just to sit round talking to two dead guys on a mountain. You see, Peter didn't know what to say. So why did he speak if he didn't know what to say? Because he was so frightened. He just was led by his feelings. Now, feelings are wonderful. Feelings are important, but they should never rule. They should never lead. They should never guide. We should never be led by our feelings. Perhaps you know the story of the man who stopped his lorry at the top of a hill, and then he jumped out to go to the post office, and he forgot to put the brake on his lorry. And his lorry started having a wonderful experience. It started careening down the road quite happily, getting faster and faster and faster. Oh, this is a wonderful experience, it thought. But because it didn't have anyone driving it, anyone steering it, anyone to put the brake on, it just was heading for a horrendous crash at the bottom. And if we're led by our feelings and we don't have our mind in gear, guiding our feelings and controlling our emotions, then we're just heading for a disaster. And that's where Peter was. He was just being led by his feelings. Feelings are good, but use your head. Be led by wisdom. Respond appropriately. Not say, hey, Rabbi, but on your face. On your knees, in the dust before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We must recognize that Jesus is Lord and God. There's something to see. But before I go on to the fourth thing that they saw, I've got to stop and look at our second major heading, which is something to hear. And this is verse 7. Something to hear. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. In the Old Testament, when Moses went up the Mount of Sinai, the Lord came down in the glory cloud. And here the glory cloud comes down again, and God speaks, and they hear God the Father speaking. And what do they hear? They hear God the Father saying that Jesus is God's Son. This is my Son. Jesus is God's Son, God's one and only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, we have become children of God by redemption and by adoption. We are adopted into God's family, but Jesus is the Son. He is the nature of God. He is co-equal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. He is the divine Son, and therefore we worship him. Therefore we exalt him. And yes, we come to church and we sing worship songs, but to worship God means much more than to spend a few minutes worshiping him in song. It means that everything we do and everything we say is done to honor him. Everything we do is done to please him. Everything we do and say is to exalt him and praise him and honor him, that we worship him, because he is God and the purpose of our being. We have been created to exalt him, to honor him, to glorify him. And we recognize that Jesus is God's Son. Secondly, they heard that Jesus is the Son whom the Father loves. This is my Son whom I love. God the Father loves him. And if God the Father loves him, we should love him too. We should love him with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. We should love him on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We should love him for his birth in Bethlehem when he became human to be our representative. We should love him for his teachings as our great prophet. We should love him for the miracles he did as revealing his divine nature. We should love him for his authority as the great king. And then we remember his great priestly work as he went to the cross and he gave himself as a sacrifice for us. He bore our sin in his body on the tree, and he was made sin for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, that he took our sin upon himself, and that he bore the curse and he bore the punishment, and he took the sin away that we might be washed clean, that our past, whatever it's like, and our sins, however serious and however many, they might all forgiven be. And he died and was buried and then rose again triumphant. The Lord has defeated sin, Satan, death, and hell. And we love him because of his victory. So we can stand at a person's grave, and if they are followers of Jesus Christ, we know that death hasn't won the victory, that from the grave they will be raised again glorious, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the same for us too. When Chris Kelly's body lies a mouldering in the grave, it's not the end of the story. for we have a resurrection hope. And that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and gave the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in us, that we might know supernatural spiritual life, a foretaste of heaven. We love Jesus Christ. He is the one whom God the Father loves, and we should love him too. And then they heard thirdly, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Jesus is the one we should listen to. Now, Moses and Elijah were inspired men. What they said was wonderful, but they were just shadows. Great as they were, inspired as they were but shadows pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God with us. Hebrews makes a world of difference about this, showing how Moses is a servant in the house. Excuse me, but Jesus is the son over the house. We should listen to Jesus Christ. Everything we think, we should filter through what Jesus says. And to listen means to obey. When the football coach gets his men together at half time and he says, "Listen, guys," what he is saying is, "This is what you've got to do." It's not like a musician who says, "Listen," and we just sit back and enjoy the nice sounds. When Jesus says, or when God says, "Listen," it's so that we obey. So when my mum told me to do something and I didn't do it, and she would come and find me and she would say, "Chris, didn't you hear what I said?" And I would say, "Oh yes, I did hear what you said. It was lovely. And you said it in such a nice way. It was so musical." She gives me a clip round the ear, because she didn't say it to me so that I would enjoy listening, but she said it to me so that I would obey, because that's what it means to listen. And we must respond appropriately. We must listen to Jesus. How do we use our money? How do we fulfill our ministry? What is our standards of morality? What are our motives in life? Indeed, what is the meaning of life? And we listen to Jesus, for he is God. We listen to him. He is the Son whom God loves. Listen to him. This is why we read the Gospels, study the Gospels, meditate on them. And this is why we try to follow Jesus in everything. Something to hear. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." And then we have to go back to point one, something to see. And we see in verse 8 that fourthly, they saw. Know what they saw in verse 8? Listen. "Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus." I find this very moving, really. Moses and Elijah returned to heaven, and it would have been so easy for Jesus to have returned with them. It would have been so easy for him just to have gone back to heaven. Just one step and he was there, out of this sin-sick world. Not only was it so easy for him, but it was so desirable for the bliss and joy of heaven, rather than the tears and fears of earth, rather than under the jackboot of Rome, rather than the hunger and hardship of life in Galilee. So desirable. And then it was so natural. I mean, God was his father who loved him. Heaven was his home. That's where he belonged. But he chose to stay. He didn't return to heaven. He chose to stay in this world. And not just in this world of pain and filth, but to go all the way to the cross to deal with sin. Do we deserve this? That he, God, should become man and go to the cross to be made sin for us? Do we deserve it? No. Do we need it? Yes, desperately. And so we respond appropriately. Every day we thank him. Every day we live to serve him and obey him, for he is our Lord and our God. Well, they saw something, they heard something, and then finally, from verse 9 onwards, as they were going down from the mountain, they spoke to Jesus about this, and Jesus told them not to speak about this until after he was raised from the dead. And so they had to show some great discipline and some great patience, because they had to speak about this, not only say the right things, but say the right things at the right time. And that's what I've been trying to do today. As God gives us opportunity, let us speak of Jesus Christ at the right time. Let us speak well of Jesus, who is the God-man who died and rose again for us. Well, let me draw my conclusions. This is one of the highlights of the Bible, one of the high points of the gospel. And when we understand it, it becomes one of the highlights, the high points of our lives. And we can recognize who Jesus is, and we can respond appropriately. We get a glimpse of his holiness, which causes us to repent of our unholiness. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We get a glimpse of his deity, the man who is God, which causes us not to call him Rabbi, but to call him Lord and God, and to worship him and love him and adore him. And then we get a glimpse of his work. He didn't go back to heaven. He went down to the cross, down into death, until the resurrection. He died that we might be forgiven. And so we believe in him. We trust in him. We rely on him. And we follow him. And life is never the same again. And one day, he will take us to be with him in glory. Until then, let's see and recognize who he is. Let's hear and obey his word, and let's speak well of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you didn't send an angel, not even an archangel, but you gave your one and only Son for us, so that being both fully God and fully man, he could be the mediator. He could stand in the gap, and he could bring us to be at one with you. And we thank you that because Jesus Christ was fully God, it meant his death was victorious and was fully sufficient to save us all. And we thank you. And we pray that our hearts might love you more and more each day, that you came for us and you went all the way to the cross for us. Thank you. Amen.
So thank you to Chris Kelly, who came and shared God's word with us this Sunday. We trust that the Lord will speak into our lives through all that we've heard. We're going to sing now The Splendor of the King.
Tremble at his voice, and trembles at his voice. Spirit's song, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great.
So thank you for being with us. It's time now to to sign off. If you want to know anything more about what you've heard in this morning's service, then please either drop me an email or put a comment below and I'll get back to you. But until next time, God bless.